The recent Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court confirmation hearings and his subsequent elevation to the High Court have led a number of law professors and progressive activists to suggest reforms to the court itself. And though expanding the number of justices on the court or implementing some form of term limits probably won't gain traction, ideas like those are being talked about much more seriously now. To find out what ideas might actually make sense, I turn to Vincent Bonventry, the Justice Jackson Distinguished Professor of Law at Albany Law School. Vin, how much of an impact will the Kavanaugh hearings have on either perception of the Supreme Court or on how future nominations are carried out?
The discontent and the distrust of the United States Supreme Court has been growing. I mean, it's not as though everybody thought the Supreme Court was a wonderful institution the way it's currently composed, and all of a sudden it fell apart with the Kavanaugh confirmation proceedings. No, I mean, by and large, the United States Supreme Court has been a hyper-partisan institution for the last few decades. And for that reason, I think a lot of people, and it's not just the law professors or the political scientists that study the court, but, you know, anybody that's kind of interested in politics and kind of interested in reading the newspapers or listening to you guys on public radio, they're aware of the fact that, you know, the court is so polarized along political party lines. Not across judicial philosophy lines. We're not talking judicial restraint, judicial activism, strict construction, loose construction, living constitution, dead constitution. We're talking about you got half of the justices voting like Republican politicians, and you got half of them voting like Democratic politicians.
Well, then, so does that make it a possibility in any way, not in the short term, not in the immediate term, obviously,
right?
But where activists or people with big money try to move the court in a different direction, whether it's trying to add justices, as certain states will do to their state Supreme Courts. Arizona did that at one point very recently. Is that a possibility? Is it possibly of not making it a lifetime term anymore?
It's certainly a possibility. And as you well know, there have been proposals to have fixed durational terms. There's been proposals to add justices to the court, whether it should be that we have a total of 11 or 27. There's this other very interesting proposal of not having the justice take a seat on the court until the president who nominated that justice actually is gone, right? Then there's age limits. There's all kinds of proposals. The real problem is that unless you have a body politic, and that, of course, would include the president and the senators, unless you have those individuals who actually care about having a great court. You know, great judges are like Oliver Wendell Holmes. You know, John Marshall, William O. Douglas, Benjamin Cardozo, Felix Frankfurter, Louis Brandeis, who, by the way, would never make it to the Supreme Court today because they were actually honest about what judges do. Or Arizona's own Sandra Day O'Connor. Look what a fine judge. Was anybody really eager to have her leave the court? No, because people could trust her. She didn't simply vote like a partisan hack.
So are there any ideas to you that whether they have any sort of possibility that would potentially make sense?
I haven't heard this proposal, but it would take an amendment, and that would be to require not just 60 votes, but perhaps 2/3 votes of the Senate. And I'll tell you why. I think something like that would certainly help. I think one of the finest individuals to be nominated in recent history was Merrick Garland. Now, why do I say that? Because Obama knew that he had to nominate somebody that would be palatable not only to the Democrats, but to the Republicans. And so he nominated somebody who was right smack dab in the ideological center of his court, the D.C. Circuit. The most recent nominee, Kavanaugh, was at the extreme right. But Merrick Garland was right in the center. Now, why did Obama do that? We know from his other nominees, no, he would prefer to put very ideologically liberal justices on the court. But he knew he had an uphill fight. In fact, such an uphill fight, he never even got a hearing for his nominee. But so he knew that he had to nominate somebody who the Republicans would also admire. And that was Merrick Garland. So I think if we require some real bipartisanship on the part of the Senate in giving advice and consent, and the president trying to please the other party as well as his own, then we might start getting justices who weren't these blind ideologues. And I'm very sorry about it, but That's by and large what we have on the court now, which is why on all these hot button issues, you got the Republicans on one side, you got the Democrats on the other, and we used to have, you know, Justice Kennedy, you know, in the middle. Sometimes he's one way or the other way. The same thing with Sandra Day O'Connor. Sometimes one way or the other way. But the rest of them, they're not acting like judges. They're acting like politicians.
Obviously, no president is going to give up this power. But what if we have a commission of learned people from all over the spectrum, you know, and it can be an uneven number, and they get together and consider nominees. And it's actually not just like the American Bar Association endorsing or not. It's really this commission would have some semblance of power in this. Is that the sort of thing that could work potentially?
Well, it could work. And in fact, there are states like Arizona and like New York, both of whom I believe much of the time those courts have been better than the United States Supreme Court. And it's because there has been this nonpartisan or bipartisan or multipartisan independent commission that actually chooses the possible nominees. And the chief executive must choose from among that list that is given.
Arizona called merit selection.
That's right. Now, whether it's actually merit selection, I mean, come on, there's plenty of politics involved. But, you know, Arizona has had a really good court. And part of the reason for it is because you have this independent commission and the governor, you know, suppose you have a hyper-partisan governor. That governor's not just free to choose anybody the governor wants. The governor's got to choose somebody from the list. The exact same thing in New York.
Vincent Bonventri is the Justice Jackson Distinguished Professor of Law at Albany Law School.